We're going to be talking with Miguel Arredondo to get you in yet on this busy campaign trail. But let's talk real quick about your candidacy. What are you running for? Give everybody the elevator pitch real quick.
And, yeah, Rob. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me on the show. I know you and I have been communicating behind the scenes for the last couple of weeks trying to make this happen, so I'm glad we found a time that works. But, you know, like you said, my name is Miguel Arredondo, and I'm a longtime San Marcan, San Marcos native, proud product of our public schools and hometown university, and current ISD board member, serving about 9 years so far. And yeah, this November, I'm going to be on the ballot running to be the next mayor of San Marcos.
All right. And, you know, I do have to say, when you hear someone say San Marcan, you know that they are going back on the old school, you know. And then we got into the San Martians, and I don't know what we you know, I just like the fact that you don't go to too many towns and that they've got a, hey, I'm a San Marcan, I'm a San Martian. Right? You know, that identity. And that's just one of those things, I think, that draw people to San Marcos. We were talking about this a little bit ago, is that, you know, we're drawing people that they can't afford to live in Austin. They don't want the bustle. They're coming here. But yet, we're growing. And our, you know, you've been here. You know, your roots run deep. And you remember the barbecue plate dinners to raise money for people when you were a kid, right? You know, or sitting around, you know, listening to the old folks. We were talking about that just a little bit ago. I don't know. You talk a little bit about your history here in San Marcos.
Well, like you said, I think San Marcos is such a unique place. Whether you've been here five generations like the Arredondos have, or you came here for school at the university, there's that opportunity there for you to fall in love with San Marcos and call it your hometown, whether you're born here or not. And I think that's great. And as someone who has lived in this community when we were a town of 20, 30,000 to now a city, a growing city at that, 75, 80,000, and continue to have that identity is tremendous. And like you said, I think that growth comes with its own unique set of challenges, and we've seen it over the years, you know, contentious issues when it comes to proposed developments, but also flooding and infrastructure needs. And I mean, I haven't talked to a single person who wouldn't love a third grocery store here in San Marcos, right? So
as the things that you hear out on the campaign trail, and it's true. I mean, you know, if you just, folks, all you got to do is just go out on social media, you know, and, you know, some of the, or the neighborhood sites, and hear what people are complaining about. And yeah, that's it. We want another grocery store.
Well, that, and it's a good reminder that, you know, at a national and state level, there's so many things that are polarizing and that are divisive, and we're always trying to slice and dice where we are, who we support, our ideologies. But here at a local level, I mean, we all have a disdain for traffic. We all, you know, want safe, affordable, accessible housing. And at the end of the day, we don't want to be stuck in the HEB parking lot, big or little, for an hour and a half looking for a spot trying to get our groceries on a Sunday or Saturday, right? So
I do like the lock that you've got on this. Well, you have ran for office before. You're not, you know, you're familiar. You've had to run for school board. You know, you've been out there, and you know, you've walked the streets or, you know, knocking on doors, right? And you know, this has changed because I know some of the first interviews that I've done with you over the years, going back when you were in Texas State, and you had a mentor here in town, and, you know, a lot's changed.
Absolutely. So when I first ran for office, I was still in my late teens. I was actually 19 when I first ran for a seat on the school board. I was unsuccessful that first year in 2012, but, you know, came back 3 years later stronger than ever, got elected at then 22. And even that had its own set of a learning curve and growing pains, if you will. I mean, I will be the first to admit that I was a young person and a kid in some people's eyes holding elected office. And like I said, I learned some lessons the hard way, but, you know, now being 33, going on 34, looking at starting a family, purchasing a home, I will admit that the maturity factor is a lot different than, you know, a decade ago. But I'm so thankful and grateful that even over the past decade, I've had the opportunity to give back to my hometown and the community that's given me so much, a great education in our public school system, a phenomenal education at our hometown university. And as a hometown kid, arguably, saying that I worked as chief of staff for a member of the Texas House of Representatives, and not only that, but our representative here in Hayes County, I'm incredibly blessed.
I want to come back to that in just a minute, but I do want to kind of sidestep. You know, we were talking about, you know, you've been out going around, you knew the neighborhoods, but those neighborhoods have changed so much. I mean, you go on the other side of I-35, and we have got, we are still 70% rental. We are still, and that is not, folks, that has changed. That's not student housing any longer. This is people that are working over here at in the area, that are working at the new light industries that we've had that have came in, you know, Amazon or for Tesla or Tesla support or those kind of things. A lot of this, you know, the warehousing, the things that were here, you know, in the area, a lot of, so that's changed a lot in the last 20 years. How do you connect with these new people coming into town? How are you more than just a name on a ballot that is Anglo, Hispanic, whatever the heck, you know, when you get down to the bottom of that ballot, all right, it comes down to, does somebody know you? Do they know your family? Do, you know, did you actually shake their hand and they remember you? And you told them to go all the way down the end to the bottom of the ballot and going ahead, and my name's going to be there.
For sure. So I think it's a unique challenge. You know, I think once upon a time, a name like Houston or a name like Arredondo was enough, right? But we are a growing community. We are rapidly changing. But I think what connects multi-generational San Marcans and people who've moved here either for job opportunities in the region or who've moved here to attend school at Texas State and have fallen in love with San Marcos and decided to stay is, I mean, we're all looking for a good paying job. We're all looking to put food on the table for ourselves and our loved ones. And so whether you've been here four or five generations or you just got here, we're all, I think, experiencing the same economic challenges and strains that most of our neighbors are experiencing. And that speaks to attracting better paying jobs that offer benefits. It means having an infrastructure that gets me from point A to point B. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to, I mean, retail politics, really. You got to knock on the door. You got to shake their hand. You got to tell them why you're running. You know.
So what are some of the challenges? I mean, I drive out 123 and I see, you know, just all of these apartments that have gone in. I see, you know, Trace, you know, that's gone in. I see all of these new, we just approved for a couple thousand more homes, sites that are going on just right at the county line. You know, it used to be Redwood was where, you know, people could afford to live on the cheap and came in and worked here in town. And even that's starting to get, you know, they're getting pushed back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, gentrification is a real thing. Displacement in our neighborhoods is a real thing with longtime residents. And I think it all comes down to economics and opportunity. I mean, you look at the number of families who've left San Marcos over the years, whether it's people who've matriculated through our public school system or even the university who, for one reason or another, say, well, we have to move to find jobs, right? And I think that is really the missing link, if you will, in San Marcos's future is we lose so much economic opportunity when folks like me have to leave and work in Austin, right? And in addition to that, we see, we see those developments on 123. We see those low-income tax credit apartments, but that can't be the end-all be-all solution, right? We have to also change that economic variable for those residents who are eligible for those affordable housing complexes. And from the ISD side, really what...
This is a major impact, you know, with the ISD in a lot of these areas as well. So, no, keep going.
Absolutely. Well, from the ISD side, when I got elected in 2015, I was invited to 3 free school supply backpack distribution events. Local churches, nonprofits, you know, just well-intentioned neighbors getting together saying, we see a need. And we want to support our students and families, and that's great. And I'm so thankful for that. This past summer, I was invited to 11 of those types of events. And for me, it was, you know, is there better, right? Yes, I'm thankful for these churches, for these philanthropic organizations to step up and address this need. But I would rather have the jobs that were there providing for those families versus us having to increase, you know, the social safety nets or lean on our churches or lean on our neighbors, because I think everybody wants that, right? Everybody wants
opportunity. So let me ask you a question. What is that level? What's that level that, you know, okay, is it $15 an hour? Is it $20 an hour? Is it how much for a family to stay here in San Marcos?
Well, I think it depends, right? I mean, we are a car-centric community. The way in which we've developed over time, you know, arguably some pretty, you know, sprawling, urban sprawl-centric philosophies have now forced most of us to get around town in a vehicle, right? Yeah. So that's an additional cost, maintenance, insurance, gasoline, etc. So, I mean, I have an older brother and a sister-in-law who have 2 young children. And so things like childcare, again, an additional cost, things like providing, you know, preschool education outside of the ISD, if you're ineligible for that tuition-based pre-K program. And so, I mean, really it is living wage jobs. It's $15, $20, $25 an hour. Also to keep up with inflation. And
but it's almost taken two. Yeah, it's 2 incomes, mm-hmm. really, at that, even in order, you know, if you are married, you have kids, you are juggling, and it makes it difficult. You know, we were talking about this with, you know, with that you have with the school district, is that if young people have kids, they're stretched thin, because it's both of them are working. And, you know, you don't have a lot of that... the safety net where you were living with your parents or next door, you had, Tia was right next there, you know, you know, someone that would watch the kids in the neighborhood, those kind of things. And we just don't have that anymore. I don't know. And that was one of the things that when I go back and I talk to folks here from the community and they talk about over the years about, you know, how things were, you played in the streets, but you knew what trouble was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and even I, you know, vividly remember growing up in Sunset Acres, and it was safe, you know, to play in the street, in the evening, in the middle of the road, right? And I don't think it's crime that has made it unsafe. It's the fact that we have 100,000 cars going through I-35 every day, and when I-35 is shut down, they're cutting through. Most of our neighborhoods go in 30, 35, 40.
And they have no clue where they're going or what they're doing. They're just trying to keep moving north or moving south. And, that is. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, I want to talk about that, about San Marcos, where it's at on I-35, where it's at on the railroad. And when we have disasters, like remember a few years ago we had the tanker overturned on I-35 right there at the river. Okay, and shut us down. I want to talk about that from a, you know, being, if you're running for mayor, you know, you're one of the key people here. when we have emergencies to help with that between the city and the people. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
Sounds good.
Miguel Arredondo is here with us, who is a candidate for mayor here on the November ballot. And quick station break. We're going to be right back with you.
Come and join the Calaboose Museum as we present the 2024 Eddie Durham Jazz Fest on October the 19th from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at Eddie Durham Park. You know which one. That's the park shaped like a guitar, which is located at 205 Martin Luther King Drive. Scheduled performers include The Blues Review featuring Michael Powers, Morris Nelms and the Calaboose Players, Ace Pepper, The Jamie Kruger Group, The Sonia Love Quartet, Blue Mist, and the Texas State Jazz Ensemble. And special guest and MC is Eddie's very own daughter, Topsy M. Durham. Remember that the festival is in a park, so bring your lawn chairs and blankets. There will be food trucks and arts and crafts vendors, and of course, live jazz music throughout the day. For more information, contact us at calaboosemuseum.org.
All right, and this is one of the things that we learned here in 2015 with the floods, that when we had the Memorial Day flood and we had the Halloween flood. Now, I know, they want me to, they don't like me to use that Halloween flood with that one, but that's another story. That's politically correct. We experienced what these folks are going through with the flooding that just, you know, 1,000-year floods. They came through where we didn't expect it. And so I want to talk about that because as a leader in the community, this is one of the things that when those things happen, you know, that are fresh in everyone's mind right now with the devastation that's going on in Florida and prayers and, you know, hopefully that we get a break here for a while for you guys to get cleaned up and the sand and just all of those things. But we saw that here, and we saw families that we had to get into housing. And we found that we didn't have that long-term housing, didn't have a way to do that. We had, you know, we've had train derailments, you know, right there in the middle of Sunset Acres, you know, where we've had to evacuate. And what would happen, you know, if we have these? So speak about some of these things in that you would be, how you are prepared to handle that. Okay.
So that's such a good question, Rob. And I would even expand the scope of, unfortunately, our community's history of natural disasters to Winter Storm Uri.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
In
yes.
most of those instances, whether it was the Memorial Weekend floods, I'd actually just been elected a few months prior and had come in as a school board member and helped the ISD respond, addressing, you know, the impact it had on our students and families. But then even during Winter Storm Uri, it was helping the ISD mobilize our school buses and getting, you know, our employees who could safely report to the bus barn out into the community to have those pop-up warming centers because we didn't have power. So anecdotally, I would cite those examples of where, as a leader and as elected official, I've already experience and helped our organization navigate that. But I think it's more so having the perspective and the lived experience of understanding it is extremely difficult for most families in San Marcos when you tell them we have a significant weather event coming, please stock up on groceries for 3 or 4 days. Because a lot of our families live paycheck to paycheck. They go to the grocery store, you know, the moment that paycheck hits their bank account. And if you tell them, well, hey, on a Tuesday in the middle of the pay period, you need to go hunker down and have supplies for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, I have the privilege of saying, okay, I can go to the grocery store and get stocked up for 3 or 4 days out of my normal cycle, right? Yeah. But most can't. And so it's having those conversations and understanding that our community is unique. It has unique challenges, especially during times of crisis. And so, again, I think it's leading with that lens and leading with that perspective to make sure that people aren't forgotten or left behind during those catastrophic weather or natural disasters.
Well, and you talked about that living paycheck to paycheck and how that is a big disruption, you know, and whatever is going on in your lives. And, you know, this housing, as I talked about, was something that was a big issue, and I know it still is. And I know we had talked about, last couple weeks with the housing authority here in town, had set out mixed messages, I think is probably the best way that I've been able to figure this out right now, about whether they were getting on a list or whether they actually had housing vouchers. Mm-hmm. And these were for our housing units that are actually ran by the San Marcos Housing Authority. Now, the San Marcos Housing Authority does not report to the city. They are a federal entity here and managed by a board. But there was a big uproar about that.
Yeah, I mean, and you're sitting across from someone who probably had as much frustration as the next person, as an elected official who amplified the messaging from the housing authority. And I think there's a couple of takeaways from that situation. One is there's obviously a need when you have folks camping out overnight, just at the idea of a voucher, at the possibility of being on a waiting list, showing just the desperation from some of our neighbors should be a wake-up call for all of us and should really light a fire and a sense of urgency in policymakers at the ISD, city, and state, and even county level. In addition to that, it's frustrating for me because when you talk to our federal representatives, they say, you know, the city of San Marcos should have some involvement in that program. You know, there is a locally appointed board that is council and mayor approved. And so, you know, where are the checks and balances at a local level? And I think more than anything, it's not pointing the finger and placing blame, but as elected officials and as tax-paid city staff, I think we should accept responsibility and say, it didn't work. What do we need to do better next time? You know, I don't think heads need to roll, but we should all take some personal accountability in how there was mismanagement.
I really felt that this is something that, this is when you need our congressman involved, okay? This is where you need to be calling up to your congressional office and telling them that, yes, sorry, heads have got to roll. Okay, sometimes you've got to get to that point. Now, you know, I know I'm a little bit more confrontational about it, but to me, this is where there was just this, there was not an acknowledgement of those people. There was not an acknowledgement of when the media came to ask the questions and the housing authority did not answer those questions and just, you know, and stonewalled. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe somebody doesn't need to get out, but you know what? I want somebody from the congressional office down here knocking on their door saying, here's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you know, it doesn't hurt to go and hit up your state senator and your state representative's office too. And you know that from being in the state representative's office.
Yeah.
What would happen when someone would call in?
I mean, I'll tell you what, if it ever came out that someone called my boss's office, our state rep, and it hadn't been handled appropriately, or, you know, they had to circumvent staff to talk to the elected official, it was a lively conversation, to say the least, right? I mean, as public servants, as, you know, as individuals paid with tax dollars, you know, there's always that expectation that you're going to go above and beyond to serve your constituents, and quite frankly, your boss, right? And working in an elected official's office, that the voters, the taxpayers are your boss. And so it's frustrating for me that here we are several weeks out, and whether it's the city of San Marcos, whether it's the housing authority, whether it's HUD at a federal level, or even our congressional representatives, there still has been
nothing.
Radio silence from everyone, right? And I think the response for me personally at a local level of pointing the finger distracted us from the real catastrophe and disaster was these people who spent the night outside grasping for what little hope that they could find and then finding out, and that they were crushed, exactly. And, you know, what has our response been locally to that? And I would argue, you know, those are our neighbors. Those are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles of public school students.
So how does the city, you know, we've got, whether it is a homeless situation, I spoke with a young woman yesterday that came in, that she was from San Antonio, was kind of trying to get on her go here and had somebody here in San Marcos that was at least had an anchor point here. And she had saved up her money and she was going to get an apartment over here off of Aquarena Springs where we have the new, it used to be the hotel there and they've converted and they've made these little efficiency apartments, basically, you know, they're hotel rooms that they've got that are about $800 a month. And, you know, it's a, she had a service dog, you know, I don't know what, you know, all sorts of issues, but she was basically saying, I just, she just couldn't get enough hours at her work. And, she said, I got to go back to San Antonio, but she came in and she sat down and we talked about it on air.
Yeah. Well, I, as an elected official and public policy maker, I think it's a double-edged sword sometimes looking at places like San Marcos Local News to see what people are posting. But I think if there's one place to get your finger on the pulse of the community, it is some of those groups and forums online. And you bring up that apartment complex, and it sounds like that place in particular is having some management issues and some public safety.
Yeah, there's been some stuff that's come up that she was talking about as well.
And again, I think it's just operating with a sense of urgency. You know, these are people's homes. You know, when I have an issue at my house, if it's, you know, related to plumbing or, you know, an infestation or rodents or whatever that is, you know, I'm calling somebody up at that moment. I'm calling a plumber. I'm calling, you know, a pest control specialist to take care of that. And that should be the expectation for
caller, hold on, please.
All of our properties. Yeah. So,
all right. And I'm going to take a call real quick. I think I've got somebody calling in. Did you have a question, caller? Okay. Thank you very much. I'll call you back then. Thank you very much. Bye now. Tune in. I thought that was someone calling in on a question. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I want to go on ahead and get you going. I told you I'd keep you for a half hour. I appreciate that this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Appreciate your time. But how, you know, to wrap this up in, you know, a minute or two for folks, with these issues that we've raised, you know, over the next 2 years, what are you going to tackle? What are some things that you can put forward for council and for city staff to address what you think are some of the major issues here in town?
For sure, absolutely. So I'm running, plain and simple, to bring new ideas and a new perspective and really new energy to City Hall. I think a lot of the challenges that we face, whether it's downtown parking, whether it's challenges with our infrastructure, whether it's economic development and financial fiscal opportunity, they've been challenges that our community has been trying to address for as long as I've been around, and probably longer. And serving on the school board, what I've always said is, you know, we have kids in our schools today that need change now. They can't wait 3, 4, 5 years because they're exiting the system. And so I think in that same vein, having that sense of urgency on the dais is severely lacking. You've served on committees of the city. I've served on committees of the city, and there's all these plans and all these visions, but rarely do we ever actually implement them. And so bringing that sense of urgency, but really focusing on the issues that our community can all circle the wagons around: housing, infrastructure, and economic opportunity. I think those are things that we all agree need to be addressed, especially as we're one of the fastest growing areas and regions in the state and in the country. But what really terrifies me, Rob, and really what motivates me to run is I am so blessed by the opportunities that this community gave me as a young person and as a native. And I don't see those same opportunities for students in our school system today, given just the difficult economic climate that we're in, given the cost of housing increases in the region as well. And so, you know, I want people to stay in San Marcos. I want people to call San Marcos their home. I want them to be able to raise a family here. And really, that's why I'm running, to keep San Marcos the small town that I knew that it was growing up, understanding that we're going to get to 100,000 within the next decade or two. And that's okay. But I think we can continue to have our small town identity, and we can still refer to ourselves as San Marcans, whether you've been here five generations or 5 years. But we have to fight for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I'm here and that's why I'm running.
Well, Miguel, thanks for coming in and talking with us and giving us some time today. And appreciate the insights on what's going on at the school district and, you know, why you're running. And good luck to you. Enjoy.
Appreciate you. Yeah.
You know, you're still smiling out there. Yeah. That's what I always ask everybody. Yeah. Are you having fun?
Exactly.
And if you're not having fun, you shouldn't be running, right?
Yeah. Well, and win or lose, you know, people have asked. And, you know, I've been here through hell or high water, literally.
Yeah.
Like most of us in San Marcos have seen those floods. And I'm going to be here, and the Arredondos are going to be here for a while.
So. All right.
All right, thank you,
Miguel,
Rob.
Thanks for coming in today. And we're going to take a quick station break, and we've got some more guests that we're going to be talking with next.